Amazing. God's good. All the time. All the time. So, just to let you know that you might be interested in this, some of you, that our leap into spring total we have been given, according to our accounts lady, Lisa, who does a fantastic job, 58 promise cards from Frio and 19 from Wellard. And the total is $100,345. And there's still time. There's still time to increase it. Who knows, there's always more need. So there is a card on your seat if you're new to our church or you haven't had the opportunity to put in a card for the next 12 months of, it's a faith promise. We'd love you to do that. And I'd like to thank you for your generosity as a church and your love to God, to seeing other people's lives set free and transformed. I'm looking forward to seeing the next video of the roof on the church school and all that. And that's suddenly so exciting. I've also got news. I've confirmed from my PA Claire that Pastor Ronell and Mary Lou have confirmed that they're coming to both Wellard and Frio next year for our Leap into Spring conference. And they are humbled and excited and just so blessed that we have asked them to come over from C3 Pasig, one of the poorest places in our world right now. So isn't that exciting? God bless you guys. All right. We've done everything, right? Thanks, guys. Awesome. You may remove yourself from the cage. Fantastic. All right. All right. We are going to talk about, we've been started last week, in the book of Proverbs on wisdom. And today I'm going to speak a little bit more and I'm going to talk about training in wisdom. And I would like to read to you a passage of scripture from Proverbs chapter 3. And maybe today, have we got that? Proverbs 3? Do you want to pop it on the screen? Maybe today, why don't we stand and let's read it together because it's 12 verses. Are you up for this? Yeah. Who knows, it's good to read your Bible. So let's do this together. You can help me because I might go a bit too fast because I'm familiar with the passage. How to go on, kick us off, I'll kick you off and then we can go. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honour the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Thanks, guys. Awesome. So, for those of you who may not have been here last week, wisdom is the competence with regards to the realities of life. Competence in regards to the realities of life. And the moment we think that we are wise is the moment that we fall in the bottom line. So, we're going to talk about this a little bit today. And I'm looking forward to speaking and teaching a little bit more on this. So wisdom is the ability to know what is right, what is the right thing to do. That makes sense. Now, in 80% of situations, it's not actually decisions that require a moral. It's not moral. It's just which way do I go? So most of life, actually, is that there's a lot of decisions that are, okay, we know some of the things that we must do as Christians. But then there's a lot of stuff that's kind of like the 80%. And so I want to talk a little bit about this morning because there are options for us. So which option is the right one? And some decisions that we make in our life, just to tell the reality of it, is that some decisions that we can make can hurt our family, they can hurt our children, they can hurt our marriage, our relationships, and our church. And so there is a need to be wise. There is a need to be. So just a situation Andrew and I made a number of years ago, quite a number of years ago, one decision, and I take responsibility for it, but although Andrew and I did it together, but actually left a sinking feeling in my stomach now that I think about it. And it was a financial decision, and there was absolutely nothing immoral about the decision. Others were saying actually that it was a good decision. But the truth is, I had an uncomfortableness in my spirit. But I decided to go ahead and make that decision anyway. Because I thought that I had a better plan than what God had. And so I think there is a reality to, who knows that God's got us, but we've got to listen. And so, as we learned last week, wisdom is in our relationship with Jesus, first and foremost. And it pays to stay accountable to his inner voice. So how do we get wisdom? Proverbs 3 talks about this. There is a path to wisdom, verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths, or he shall direct your paths, depending on your translation. And the Bible has over 700 references as life being a pathway. 700. And living our life is likened to walking a path. So let me ask you, if you're going to walk down a long path, if I'm going to walk down a long path, I could crawl. I could skip. I could somersault. I'm not going to do a somersault. But who knows that those things are not going to, I'm not going to be able to sustain me. However, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. I can keep going and going and going and going until I reach the end of that path, until you and I reach heaven. Now, most of you will know that my wife likes to walk. Most of you will also know that Nigel's not so keen. And one day, in northern Sulawesi, in the middle of the jungle, Andrea says to me, after we were on a diving holiday, well, I was diving, and so I thought I'd better do something that Andrea wants, and it's a hot, humid day. She says, will you come with me for a walk? And I said, where are we going? I thought that was a pretty fair question. And she said to me, to a village. I said, how far is that village? She said, not far. I said, okay, let's go. I put on my hat because the sun must have been 35 degrees and it was humid. Before I left to go on the walk with Andrea, and we were appropriately dressed, Had some shoes on. I bumped into the owner of the, and I told him we were going for a walk, and he goes, which village are you going to? Oh, I says, I don't know. I'm just going for a walk, following Andrea. And he goes, a couple of months ago, a killer python actually squashed a person. So now I'm thinking, I'm walking with Andrea through a jungle to start with, along a path, and then I'm going to walk, I'm presuming, along some bitumen. And so anyhow, we started walking, and we walked up this kind of mountain, and we met some farmer people that were doing their crops, small plots, because it's northern Indonesia. It was like going back in time. It was not like our farming. And then we walked down another hill and through some other bushland, and making sure I wasn't getting too close to all the undergrowth, and came out onto a road, and we walked to a village. I says, "Is this the village?" No, this isn't the village. And so we walked up another hill, right, left, right, left. Walked down another hill, came to another village. This is about an hour into the walk. Sweat's pouring down my face. I'm like, are we there yet? She goes, no, this isn't the village. I've looked it up, and this is not the right one. Okay. Are you okay? Can we keep going? Where am I going? There's no helicopter. Where am I going to go? Beam me up, Scotty. I mean, I don't know. So it's like, okay, let's just keep walking. It's best as far to go back. Maybe I can find another way. And so we walked and we walked another hour. Literally. Just very short walk. just to a village, Nigel. We go up a hill and we come into this larger village. And Andrew goes, I don't think this is the right village. And I said, I'm not going any further. We walk into this village and they'd had a church service, and we walk through the village and we come to, oh, look, it was on the water, and there's a boat letting people off. Can we catch the boat back? I'm not, and Andrea looked a bit frazzled herself, I must admit. And so I go and ask the boat people, who was very hard because they didn't speak English, and they said, no, we don't go that way, we're going the other way. I says, oh, okay. So then I thought, I wonder how much money it would cost me to get one of these villages, and there was a ute in one of the guys' houses, and shacks really. And I said, how much for Andrew and I to get in the back of your truck and take us back? And we worked out a price, and I said, thank you, God. My life is saved. According to the Bible, life is like walking a pathway. And what really makes you, what really makes you you, is right, left, right, left, right, left. Takes you somewhere you were not before. Who you become, your destiny, is how you do the little things every day. Little choices, little attitudes, little disciplines. You and I want to get to the end of our lives and not be thinking, I don't like where I am. Can I get a ride out of here? It's not the big dramatic things that make up your life. It is who you are day in, day out, that makes you. God looks at us based on our steps, not so much as our qualifications, our bio, our achievements may not be an accurate reflection of who we really are. And the Bible says you become wise by assuming a daily set of practices. Daily disciplines, and eventually you become a wise person. And so wisdom in the Bible is a pathway, not a door. If there was a door right here, And I turned the lock and opened the door, and that was wisdom, we'd be God. But it doesn't work that way. There is no secret stash through any doorway. It's a journey. And so wisdom is a path, a long path, doing simple things day in, day out. And wisdom can never happen very quickly. And this goes against the culture of the world. C.S. Lewis wrote this: a man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling darkness on the walls of his cell. A proud man is always looking down on things and people, and of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something that is above you. One more. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Wisdom is a path, not a door. I've had people come to me and actually ask this question quite frequently, actually, being pastor for almost 25 years now. What is God's will for my life? It's the wrong question. Can I help us all today? The Bible is God's will for your life. Say it with me. The Bible is God's will for my life. I heard about this man who asked for a sign. And he thought to himself, I know what I can do. I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Lord to show me what I need to do, and this will be the will for my life. And so he turned, he prayed, oh Lord, give me a right word. And he said, he put his finger on the verse and he opened it up and said, Judas went out and hanged himself. So he said, well, maybe God didn't hear me the first time. So he tried again. He said, oh, Lord, help me. I need to know the will of my life. Help me, help me, help me. And he turned and it said, whatever you do, do it quickly. And then lastly, he turned again and he says, you go and do likewise. You see, if you are looking for a technique, you will never get what you desire from life. Right, left, right, left, right, left. Make a decision. Make another decision. And after a period of time, you become the kind of person who knows how to make a right choice. There is no shortcut to wisdom. Wisdom is a path. Secondly, there is a process of wisdom. So what are the right, left, right, left, right, left to turn you into a wise person? Who'd like to be wiser? All right, so there are five in this chapter in Proverbs 3. Number one, knowing God. Number two, knowing yourself. Number three, knowing your friends, knowing God's database, and knowing trouble in the proper way. So firstly, knowing God. Proverbs 3 verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So we have been given the practical application. Every day, remind yourself how good God is. Come on. Every day. Can you give him a little bit of praise this morning? How good is your God? Come on, give him some praise. Because some of us don't speak it out. Lord, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that you're for me. I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you've got me. These are things that we can be saying with our mouth all the time. Every day, remind yourself how good God is. And obviously, there are some other things that help, some disciplines. Prayer. It's good to get up and acknowledge the Lord and give Him part of that day or all your day. And then there's Bible reading. If you don't read the Word, you can't get wise. That's why it's a step by step. You can't get wise overnight. But we can, in time, learn God's Word really well for our life. There could be worship, Christian music, however you're wired, but let's enjoy God. If you'd like to go out in the bush and hug a tree, hug a tree. If that helps you connect to God, do the things that help. And we tend to forget wisdom. We tend to forget how much He's got our lives and our relationship. We can't develop our relationship so much if we're not in Him. And so there is, it's something that we have to be disciplined to be in Him. And so the primary thing for all wisdom is knowing God. And the book of Proverbs repeatedly says that wise people have a calm, inner poise, a confidence no matter what the situation, and they rarely lose their head. Oh, Lord, help me. They rarely lose their head. We can't get this unless we're practicing being in Him. And when God is so real in your heart, nothing can dislodge you. Second, knowing self. Proverbs 3, 5 to 7. Many of you will know the scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, He shall direct your paths. I love this part. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, which means love Him, really, and depart from evil. Wise people are extremely aware of their own foolishness. Fools think they are wise. And if you don't think you are a fool, you are a fool. No one is that good or that bright. However, when you think to yourself, I could have done that so much better. I really shouldn't have done it that way. Then you're on the path to wisdom. And when you're aware of your own limitations, your own weaknesses, your bad habits, that's when you start to think before making a stupid decision, a silly decision. And if you compare yourself to others regularly, oh my goodness, who knows, that's going to be a trap right there. If you compare yourself with others regularly, who knows that every one of us is going to be in trouble. If you are defensive when someone gives you a correction of some kind, if you're afraid of failure, if you always think others are better or smarter than you, then you do not have a knowing in your heart that He's got you. He's got you under His wing. He loves you. He's died for you. It comes back to our identity and relationship, and He is for us. And so it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Let's say it together. Do not be wise in your own eyes. It takes ruthless yet non-traumatic examination of self. So knowing self by knowing God, or else it will be traumatic. And when you completely know His love, you can work on who you are. If you don't know how much He loves you, It's going to be difficult to accept yourself, and it's difficult to move on in life. So knowing God, knowing yourself. Three, knowing your friends. Has anyone got some friends? Isn't it good to have friends? Who knows that friends can save your bacon? Come on. Yeah, they can eat your bacon too. But they can really save your life. We need to call on a friend. And verse 1 says, my son. That's how it starts. Do not forget my... And it goes on. In other words, you will never find wisdom by yourself. And Proverbs was taught in school to young men. It's probably why there's so many references to wanted women, if you've read Proverbs. And the point is, we have to have mentors, coaches, and counsel from others. And verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And the Bible describes a fool, and there are many proverbs on the subject, as someone who says, I don't need anybody else's advice. I know. And so a fool is an individualist. And a wise person is not so convinced about their own wisdom and seeks the counsel of others. Can we do that as a church? And so this is where connect groups really come into their own. I have the young man, privilege of having the young man, Doug O'Day, in my connect group, and he is very wise. And he's helped me a number of times. He probably doesn't even, isn't aware of it. But some of the things he says, they hit home to me. And I'm grateful for the relationship. We're only as good as the others that are around us. And so, you do not find wisdom without mutual consent. Or counsel, sorry. You get wisdom through a community. I'm grateful for the house of God. I'm grateful for our connect groups. Because that help, we help one another to stay on course with God's plan for our life. You only get information through a class. And it is a discipline of community. How are you really going? That helps you and I gain wisdom. And there is a transparency to God and others, and that helps us to breathe life into our own situation and into the life of others. Right, left, right, left, right, left. Number four, knowing God's best practices. Let your heart keep my commands. Let your... So that's an inner thing. That's just not a brain thing. This is not just a thinking. This is really deep. Let your heart keep my commands. Who knows, if you go off feelings, you're going to mess up real quick. Let your heart. And so the intention of Proverbs was that the students keep God's laws. And in Proverbs, it was the Torah, or the laws of Moses, actually, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so, worship no other gods before me. That's a good idea. Worship no other gods before me. Don't put your spouse before me. Don't put your family before me. Don't put your hobby before me. No other gods before me. No idols. Do not misuse my name. Keep the Sabbath. Honor mum and dad. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not covet your neighbor's wife. Do not covet your neighbor's property. There's some wisdom just there, right? And so most of the time, most of us are okay with these. But sometimes all of us need help. And so a wise person says, I need community. Can we say it together? I need community. A wise person talks with another before he does something foolish. I know my God and I know who I am and I take ownership of who I am and I recognize that I can't do life alone. God has a database of best practices for our lives. So Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, just on that, I talked about it a little bit earlier. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The world tells you to hold on to your money. Spend it on yourself. But I, wisdom, who'd like to be wise? But I, wisdom, am telling you to honor the Lord with your wealth, to give to him and be generous like him, and I will start a cycle of life that the world knows nothing about. And so I thank you, Lord, that I will honor you with my possessions. Right, left, right, left, right, left. It's a principle. Take it into your heart what Jesus has done for you. Practice the art of giving into the house of God and tithing everything that belongs to him. So, knowing God, knowing self, knowing friends, knowing best practices, and lastly, knowing troubles. Knowing troubles. This is where it gets really interesting in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father, the son in whom he delights. And so up until these two verses, there have been many promises. Seek after wisdom and people will like you. It talks about it in these verses prior to this. Who thinks that's a good plan? That's great, right? Seek after wisdom and people will like you. It says that you will have favor with God and men. When you seek after wisdom, when you seek after the Lord. It says too in Proverbs that you will be healthy because you'll be wise with some of the things that you allow to come into your life. There'll be a wholesomeness about you. And it also says we just read it, that you will make money. Your vats will overflow. And so, therefore, the wisdom life goes so much better for you when we actually get involved in the Word of God and practice His principles that we're talking about today. And then there's verse 11. Wisdom does not avoid feeling broken or chastised or corrected. In fact, wisdom embraces them all. Let the trouble in your life help you in knowing God. Who's ever done something really foolish and then gone, oh dear, I've got to get right with God? I'm the only one. You know? And hopefully we learn. Amen? And we help one another. And so, like a father who loves his son will bring correction, at times punish a child, so they will grow. So too, when we know trouble, do we grow in wisdom faster than in any other time in our life, because it's a wake-up call. So wisdom is in you, and I handling reality. Wisdom is in you and I handling reality. And so at the end of the book of Proverbs, really interesting what it says here. There's some writings by a man called Agur. And Agur must have been a wise man. Otherwise, his words would not be in the book of Proverbs, right? Now, Agur makes this statement in Proverbs 30, verse 2. This is what he says. Surely I am more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. That's a proverb. And he's meant to be a wise guy. So Agar is saying he is mentally impaired and has the IQ of an animal. And in Proverbs 30 verse 4, Agar says, "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name?" Agar is saying that he needs perspective. Who has the big picture? Who has the wind in his hands? And unless he comes and speak with me, until then, no wisdom. If the music team could come up, that'd be awesome. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus comes to speak with Jesus in the dead of night. And Nicodemus is a ruler of the Jews. And Nicodemus starts asking questions of Jesus. He says, like, no one can do what you do unless God's with you. Jesus says to Nicodemus, "For only I, the Son of Man, have come to earth and will return to heaven again." And Nicodemus couldn't have believed his ears and says to Jesus, "How can these things be?" Nicodemus knew the Bible, yet did not have a relationship with God. And Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, "I am the one that Agar was looking for. I have come from heaven. I am the man, the ultimate source of wisdom." And Jesus goes on to say, as Moses lift up the serpent on the pole, "The Son of Man must be lifted up. I have come from heaven, but I'm going back to heaven by way of the cross. Lifted up like the lifeless servant of Moses. I'm the ultimate innocent sufferer. Look to me." Can we stand to our feet, church, this morning? The cross is wisdom personified. The cross represents where you have been. You've been rejected. There is a sense of hopelessness. There is suffering. There is pain. There is wrongdoing. There is misunderstandings. There's troubles. And I, the Son of Man, will take it all. I, the Son of Man, have come to set you free, and you will learn wisdom as you have a relationship with me. Oh, Lord God, can we bow our heads this morning? So we can gain wisdom because Jesus comes alongside us. He's the ultimate source of wisdom. As we learned last week, he's from the beginning and the end of whole creation. I, wisdom. And the cross will enable you to handle the realities of life. And through the cross and the resurrection, he has changed the world. Keep your eyes closed for a moment. I just want to read you a little illustration before we finish this morning. Can we have just a heart of being open to the Lord and a devotion to who he is in our life? During the making of the movie, The Passion of Christ, there was an African-American young lady who watched her mother die at the hands of her father. She described how blood was on the mattress, her mother's handprint was on the wall. It messed with her for a very long time. Yet one day she sat and watched The Passion of Christ. And as she watched and heard the message of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, she felt something in her heart which has transformed her from that time. And she said, "Jesus knew what it was like to be beaten to death by somebody who should have loved him. I can put my trust in Jesus. He gets me entirely." And so for us here today, will you put your trust in Jesus? Will you recognize that he is the source of all wisdom for your life? And let us pray this prayer together. And allow Jesus to have a relationship with us. He's got you. He knows you. He identifies with you. He took it all on the cross for our well-being.